Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
All right, Case Keenum. Yeah, there's him. How are the injuries going, Coach?
We had five guys DMP. Shaq Barrett with a hip, Cortland Sutton with a quad, Chris Harris, lower leg. Derek Wolf's in the protocol for a concussion. Isaac Yiadom, he's got a shoulder. We have three guys limited. Brandon Marshall with a knee.
Wait a second. Who's in a... Wait, I got to go back here. What?
Derek Wolf's in the protocol for a concussion.
Oh.
Isaac Yiadom, he's got a shoulder. We have three guys limited. Brandon Marshall with a knee. Tremaine Brock with ribs. And Matt Lacoste with a shoulder. That's it. Questions, guys?
Derek Wolf's got a concussion. Well, he shouldn't be playing on Saturday, right? He had on TV, they said Derek Wolf described his rib injury as somebody was stabbing him with a knife. And now he's got a concussion.
But did you know that Kittle weighed 190 pounds when he was...
in Iowa.
Entering into
Iowa,
college,
yeah.
In Iowa.
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you know Michael Gallup was a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award? Did anybody tell you that?
Hey, bro. Myself up.
Do you know Jerome Bettis is from Detroit?
over and over.
We get it.
Right.
We got it.
Did you know Philip Lindsay is from Denver?
I didn't know that. Was he drafted or undrafted? Oh, he's undrafted?
Did you know that he was a huge fan of Terrell Davis?
What?
You're right, bro. Some of the things that we get.
It's like, wow, okay. Gotcha.
Again, huh?
All right.
Here we go. We're in week 14 in the NFL. Three more games left to equal 17 weeks in the NFL. And we are regurgitating every story again.
By the way,
I bet you 2-1, whatever you want, that Philip Lindsay, the undrafted rookie from Denver, who grew up in Denver, played at the University of Colorado, will be talked about at least 5 times on Saturday night.
Minimum. What a story. That's not an underdog story.
Got him his 200, by the way, should have got him 1,000 yards. Should have got him his 1,000 yards a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well.
When we had a chance to just give him the 220, should have got it then.
There are things in the NFL that just boggle my mind. Like, Bobby Wagner practices parkour on the field, and the referees miss it. I thought he was about to do a twist and a half from like a wall down to a landing or something.
Dude, he looked like the Karate Kid jumping over those guys, holding them right there in that pose.
What, did the referees really think that there's a human being alive that can just magically launch himself?
No, you can. Basically, Justin Simmons did the exact same thing from a 2-point stance, but he did it from a 3-point stance, and he propped himself up on.
He pushed off two linemen.
Teammates.
He parkoured it.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
I saw that on YouTube.
I was like, you know what? Now that is a clear case of an illegal play.
It couldn't be more illegal.
I didn't even have to wait for the referees on that when they threw the flag and picked it up. This is what it sounded like.
We'll have the ball put down on the artificial surface with the rain stopped, but a slight breeze at the 37, a 47-yard field goal try. The snap is down. The right foot kick is blocked. It's been blocked.
It's been blocked because he...
He did a handstand on his teammates.
Travis Pastrana was giving him a motorcycle to do a backflip with.
He could have did a cartwheel over them.
Yeah, why stop there?
He was at the top of the pyramid. Oh, my goodness. Bobby Wagner was at the top of the pyramid, and they didn't call it.
Yeah, he went right from there to the cheerleading competition down the street of the convention center. He's a flyer. There's a small person. They throw him up in the air.
Yay! We made space! We made space! Yay!
I mean, and they threw the flag.
Yeah.
And thought about it.
Let's pick the flag up. He's superhuman.
Right here?
Yeah, no.
I mean, you sure you want to do this? We got to fly out of here tomorrow.
Pretty cool play, yeah.
We got to fly out of here tomorrow.
Here comes the...
Flying
Wagner! And he leaps over offensive line in a single bound. No. That's very normal. Human beings could just... What were they thinking? You so can't do that. Forget it. I don't even know what to say.
Weird stuff is happening in the NFL. Guys are picking up flags. Coaches or guys who are administrators for the Denver Broncos don't know when to tell the coach to challenge and when not to tell the coaches to challenge. This has got to be like 3 or 4 times this year where we've looked around like, wait a minute. What did the guy tell him to do? Did he say to throw the flag? Did he say not to throw the flag?
Did you tell me to throw it or not throw it? Hey, VJ, throw the flag. What?
A coach?
VJ, throw the flag before you.
What?
Throw it?
Did the cons go out? The
flag. Throw the flag! What? Next play. You said to throw the flag next time. VJ, whatever you do, throw the flag. Oh, so I'll throw it. No, don't throw it. Don't. No. Did you hear me when I said throw the flag?
Oh, man, this is so much more fun than yesterday, because yesterday I was so frustrated, man. I was so frustrated yesterday. Today is a much different day, and it has a much different feel, because now we can let it go. We can just go ahead and relax and just...
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it.
Let's go ahead and play ball now, you know, like, you know, Case, just let it rip this weekend. Go for 330 this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go for a 400 yards over your average. Just go for 330.
Yeah, go nuts. My favorite thing is that...
Go nuts. You know what, Case? Go nuts this weekend, man.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Don't
let the rookie first pick in the NFL draft outclass you.
Yeah, and my favorite thought is Mike Evans has to sit here at this microphone right now. I'm talking about this. Enjoy that, Mike. It's a drive on the fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
The challenge, you know, it was clear in my opinion that he was a little short. And I'm going to challenge or time out anyway. So control to Major Tom. The challenge was huge for us to get a challenge and get the clock stopped, so it kind of solved two problems.
What? VJ's got a voice that's so deep when he, like, when he loses his energy in his voice, he goes over there like...
And I'm going to challenge for the time out anyway, so...
I was going to do the challenge, but the challenge...
The challenge was huge for us to get a challenge and get the clock stopped, so it kind of solved the problems.
The challenge was huge.
All right.
love that. Oh, I like this song, though. Let it breathe for a little bit. This is Major Tom. Steph Curry showing off his Davidson education. Is questioning the moon landing.
Is this a joke?
Nope. Look it up.
This is a joke.
I hope so.
Somebody challenged whether or not the Earth was flat last year.
Davidson, you know, to...
Was it Kyrie?
Yeah.
Was he joking?
Yeah. I don't know. Far away. Let's see if I can find specific
Wait a minute. Was Kyrie Irving serious when he said the Earth was flat?
I think he was playing it off like he was joking, but I don't think he really was. I think he pretended that he was joking later. Let me Google.
And this whole moon thing with Steph Curry, is that real? Or was he playing?
I got you, D.
The headline is, Steph Curry is pretty sure the moon landing was faked.
Earlier this week, Curry questioned the moon landing on Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore's Winging It podcast, which also included teammate Andre Iguodala. Curry, we ever been to the moon? Multiple responders, nope. Curry said, they're going to come get us. I don't think so either.
Curry said he was serious. That is somebody who's gone down the conspiracy wormhole on YouTube just a little too long.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
What was Steph Curry's major at Davidson?
Astronomy.
Basketball. Astronomy.
is right.
Kyrie Irving also floated a fake moon landing. Okay.
NASA invites Steph Curry to Lunar Lab after he said moon landing was all.
I don't know,
so
man.
NASA actually reaches out to Steph Curry. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. How'd they get there? They can't drive.
You know, but it goes to show you, man, you know, everything that you say in the public forum and with the microphone on in the public forum, whether or not it's over terrestrial radio or not, will be replayed somewhere if it is outlandish. If you say it, you're going to have to own it no matter where you say it. That is still a cool picture right there. LeBron James and
Dwayne Wade last night.
Dwayne Wade,
yeah,
exchanging
cool.
jerseys. That's the stuff of legends right there.
Yep, two great guys, two fierce competitors, two champions.
Love those two guys, man.
And you know what? They battled that game last night, right down to the end. It you know, didn't go Dwayne Wade's case way, and you know, it's just a good moment. It's fun. Two guys who love each other, who are
love
both,
each other,
both
man.
Awesome at what they
that's
do.
So, that's still so cool to see for me, you know, because I think that
when you look at the
athletes.
Who could not like that moment, by the way?
I don't know. There were a lot of people who didn't like the fact that Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas kissed.
Yeah, I was fine with that. Fierce competitors, too.
Fierce.
They also fought.
Was that the same?
I don't think it was the same game, but they have thrown fists at each other as well. Listen, I love guys who compete, okay? The end, bottom line. And guys who really do love each other and respect each other, they want to go after. You know, one thing I've always loved, for example, is like Serena and Venus. You know, not only are they both individually incredible champions, they thrived playing each other. They weren't afraid of it. They didn't back down.
I think this is what we all want.
Not like those wimpy Klitschko brothers. I do remember, I think it was Richard Schmelick and his brother, you know, Joe Schmelick. God, I could be getting it wrong. But I was covering the Sabres the year I worked for the Sabres, and two brothers faced each other, and they ended up fighting. Like, they were both kind of tough guys, and everybody knew they were both tough guys. And I was like, oh, what? And they fought.
Brothers?
Brothers. And they were not happy about it afterwards. That's a little different, like physically fighting. That's different than just competing.
I couldn't do that with my brother.
No, they said mom wasn't going to be happy. But it was a fun game last night with the Heat and the Lakers. Great competition.
I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm an old basketball fan, and I just want to watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. On YouTube now, there's an NBA channel that allows you to watch every game in the NBA with all the scoring. Have you seen that? I mean, it's amazing. Like, you just go pick a game, and they show you the entire game in roughly like 11, 12 minutes of all the scoring plays that happen.
So there's no rebounds?
No, not unless it leads to a fast break scoring opportunity.
Gotcha. That's kind of
It's great. I'm like, okay, the move was, they don't show turnovers. They don't show clock management or nothing like that. Just if the ball goes in, they show it to you.
Who would want to watch that?
I do!
All right, we'll take a break. 303-713-1043.
I want to see made baskets. I don't want to see missed baskets.
Did we land on the moon?
Yes, we did.
Okay. And why do you believe that?
I just have to believe that through all the incredible
science
and
technology.
I grew up in Houston.
Houston, proud. They were right, working on
space station, and
it's all
and
real
all that
thing.
Stuff is real.
Right. Did OJ do it?
Let's take a break.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Throw in some Christopher Cross?
Yeah, we had AWOL Nation Sail dialed up, and I decided to switch it to Sailing by Christopher Cross.
Well, let it breathe then.
Okay. Let's all think about being on a boat.
Sailing takes me away to where I've always risen.
Nobody understands what he ever says now. I need to lose 50, maybe 100.
Oh, let that breathe. Happy Tuesday, Denver, Colorado.
It's the best of me when I'm sailing.
That sounds so good! Come on, baby, come on!
Every word is a symphony.
Huh. Dolphins and birds and
sailing.
I wish Sergio Dip was here,
having the time of his life.
So I'm watching the Browns, and see, today was Wednesday in Broncoland because the game's on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So that's why BJ was talking. The players had the day off yesterday. No, they did. Trust me on that. Don't debate me.
No. I'm not gonna debate you.
It feels like you're about to debate me on something that's just
a
fact.
I'm just saying because per the collective bargaining agreement, there has to be one day off for the players in between games.
It was yesterday.
So they didn't come in and watch film or nothing, huh?
No, yesterday was their day off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sailing.
Oh, that song's going to be stuck in your head.
Yeah, we played Sunday, so they've had one day off, and some guys are still sore. So we just went through a normal Wednesday kind of prep as far as reps, but I had a jog from this.
You know what's cool is that nobody ripped their Achilles today, which was awesome compared to last Wednesday, which is really today, which is Tuesday. So I'm watching the Browns and Baker Mayfield, and this dude is
undeniable leader of the team.
You know what I found impressive?
It's
was the
team.
Was the game against,
he knows it's his
against
team.
Houston where they got killed. He throws three interceptions in the first half. He doesn't care. Comes back. I mean, they didn't win. But he just kept firing away. You know what that reminded me of? Do you remember? I know you will. I know you will remember this. Monday Night Football, when me, you, and Ryan went down to Darcy's, that Irish pub, and we watched Peyton Manning
against the Atlanta Falcons.
What did he do in that first half?
Oh, it was ugly. I was like, oh, Peyton isn't. Oh,
three interceptions.
We got the wrong Peyton.
three interceptions in the first half. We left at halftime, and it was just like, oh boy. What happened at the end of that game?
No, it was a one-score game, and if we get one stop, we get the ball back with momentum, with a chance to win the game.
It was essentially a fumble, I believe, by Willis McGahee, kind of cost us at the end. But Peyton just led a comeback, and yeah, they lost the game. But did Peyton Manning ever like just sort of give up because he had a bad first half?
No,
I mean he looked like garbage. It might
but
have
I
been
think
like,
that's when they finally switched over to more hurry-up offense instead of the huddle stuff. And he was, after that game, it was smooth sailing because it was,
right.
Okay, Peyton.
We're done with that.
We're done with that. You go ahead. Whatever you need to do, we're good.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. Of course I remember
we'll
that.
We'll never forget it, will we?
No, I never will. Because after that, it was on. You know, it was like, okay, we're going to go 33 points a game. Here we go.
Do you remember, and of course you will, when we were in San Diego and they were losing like 24-0 at halftime?
Right.
Did it feel like we were out of it?
It felt like we didn't have nothing going right then. But then all of a sudden, magic happens.
It was
magic
awesome.
Magic happens.
Magic happened. There was always a sense with Peyton Manning that something could happen.
Right.
And it didn't always happen, but you always had a feeling something could happen. It is the exact same way with Baker Mayfield. Exact same. It's not the same with Case Keenum.
No, but, you know, part of that is I think he got into this don't turn the ball over. Kind of construct.
That's right.
You know, one,
that's right.
You know, because the first game of the year, man, and I was trying to tell you then, that was a quality win against the Seattle Seahawks.
You were correct. Like, however, Pete Carroll, through Mark, admitted that they had to change things after two games. That they weren't going the right direction. They had to make some significant changes.
But it was also,
so our analysis of where the Seahawks were was actually pretty accurate.
Right. But they thought that they could just throw the football around the field and Russell Wilson was going to be Russell Wilson, you know, 5.0, where, you know, now Russell is throwing the ball for 5,000 yards in a season.
But they were just getting used to their new version of their reality, and they just weren't quite there yet. That's why I always thought it was a very winnable game for the Broncos. Now, I thought the Seahawks were just going to be a dumpster fire this year, and they definitely are not. And that was an ugly game last night. But whatever. Who cares, right? They're on their way to make the playoffs.
Yeah. They have the fifth seed. The Minnesota Vikings, as bad as they've played, they own the sixth seed.
Yeah.
And for all those non-believers and Kirk Cousins, watch it now. They're not out of it. Watch it. Watch it
well
now.
Well said. Yeah.
Don't think that because he had a bad game on the road in Seattle. By the way, not many quarterbacks have great days in Seattle on the road. So keep that in your back pocket. And if that's the matchup that we see in the first round of the playoffs, once you know what it is.
Can I give you a story, too?
Look out.
How many games are left in the season? Three, right?
Yep.
What did the Baltimore Ravens do to their coaching staff?
Mm. Fired the OC right before they went on the Super Bowl run.
Fired the OC. Won the Super. They late in the year. I think there were four games left. Fired the OC. I think the Broncos may have got the Ravens the week after they fired Cam Cameron. I'd have to look that up. And the Broncos killed the Ravens in Baltimore that year. Killed them. But they had a lot of good parts. Things went their way. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, and it was really cold out that day. And we all know something. We all know something.
When it's cold, it's tough.
Yeah.
When it's cold, it's tough. Except we don't, you know, living in Denver, man, we don't have many cold games.
Not like you know? That game. It's that just, game was brutal.
And then the other night, you know, I watched a little Pro Football and saw that the Rams basically got dominated by the Chicago Bears. And, you know, had that conversation again today. And you know what? Chicago, you're going to have to go out to Los Angeles where it's going to be sunny and 70. So at some point, we may get that matchup again. Watch out. That's all I'm saying. Watch out. Cold and windy. Sunday night game is not like having a sunny and 75 day in Los Angeles for a playoff game. No. When you win the prerequisite number of games to get the home field advantage, that's when it pays off. So as we get ready to prepare for these playoffs, and we don't know how it's going to shake out, maybe the Broncos find a way to make it interesting. I don't have any belief in that. But if they do find a way to make it interesting, that'll be a surprise. But you know, I'm looking forward to a great playoff run. I'm looking at teams that are playing great levels of football. The Browns, by the way, unafraid of throwing the deep ball. D-Mac.
The Broncos. I'm not predicting it, but I just want to give you all a heads up. If the Broncos aren't careful, and the Broncos don't. Broncos could get blown out. I'm not saying just lose.
Right.
They could get blown out by the Browns on Saturday night. Tell me you don't see that when you watch the Browns. Tell me you don't see those weapons.
Ugh.
Nick Chubb. Landry.
They got a defensive line that just won't quit.
Njoku. Never mind their defense. Well, their defensive line. The secondary, and teams can run on them a little bit. They don't have the strongest run defense. But they've got some weapons. And they got a quarterback who's not afraid.
Guess what? If he throws three interceptions, he's not going to get benched. And guess what? They're not going to say, you shouldn't have done it, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Guess what? This guy is playing fearless because he knows he's going to get a new head coach anyway. What are you going to say to a guy who knows he's going to get a new head coach?
It's the Drive on the Fan. You know, one of the more interesting stories today, and we'll get back to the Browns and the Broncos and all that, but one of the more fun, interesting stories is this whole concept about Adam Ottavino saying he would strike out Babe Ruth.
I remember I had an argument with a coach in AAA about Babe Ruth's effectiveness in today's game, and this was like 10 years ago. And I said, look, Babe Ruth with that swinging that bat, I got him hitting a .140 with 8 homers. And he's like, are you nuts? Babe Ruth would hit .370 with 60 homers. And I'm like, I would strike Babe Ruth out every time. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect them. You know, rest in peace, you know. Shout out to Babe Ruth. But it was a different game. I mean, a guy ate hot dogs and drank beer and did whatever he did. And it was just a different game. And guys had to pitch, you know, three-man rotations and 400 innings. I mean, the requirements were just different, so...
It's a huge story all over the place. I mean, maybe people are bored today. I don't know. But there I'm looking at ESPN, and there's Keith Olbermann breaking it down with Tim Kirchen at the winter meetings about Ottavino versus Babe Ruth, which is so preposterous, it's funny to say. But the truth of the matter is Babe Ruth wouldn't have a chance against Adam Ottavino. Wouldn't have a shot. First of all, he'd only face him once, right? He wouldn't be facing him... you know, for an entire game. It would be one time. And when Adam Ottavino's breaking stuff is on, Al, forget about it. Nobody right. could hit Adam Ottavino.
Barry Bonds could hit him.
Listen, Adam's not perfect, but Adam is pretty sick.
Who's the best hitter you've ever seen in your life? Is Bonds number one?
I have to have seen them?
Yes.
Wade Boggs.
Really?
Yeah. He was ridiculous. I mean, just look at it. Look at the first of all, he's a Hall of Famer. Just start there.
Mm-hmm.
And look at his batting average. Look at the type of swing he had. Just look at how he hit. He was the best hitter I ever saw.
Oh, tell you what, the way that bat comes off of Barry Bonds' shoulder and the contact, the quick swing, the quick strike, that is just, to me, that is... That's crazy.
Yeah, but Barry Bonds is a cheater, and Wade Boggs was only addicted to...
Oh, my goodness.
Wade Boggs was only addicted to chicken and sex. But, I mean, aren't we all? You may have to Google that one, but trust me, that's a funny joke.
I know about it.
Yeah. Best hitter I ever saw. Tony Gwynn was up there, too.
Oh, yeah. How about Vlad? Did you like Vlad?
No, he was a terrible hitter. He was ridiculous.
I don't care if it's in the dirt.
No, that's not a good hitter. God. He had freaky abilities, but he wasn't a great hitter. Ricky Henderson was a great hitter.
Ricky Henderson was
the
greatest stealer of bases that we'll ever see in our lifetime.
If I could be anybody, because I'm a short guy. I always wanted, if I could have ever been a baseball player, it would have been Ricky Henderson.
Oh, my goodness, man. That first step, though.
Woo! Power, speed, and just a total lack of coherence about the real world. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in that bubble? And the guy just loved baseball. The guy, even when he was
Didn't he play until until he was like 50?
He played in independent leagues and barnstorming circuits, and he just loved playing baseball. He had a crazy independent baseball career, like in his mid-40s. It was ridiculous.
He's 59 now. He's probably still playing.
He probably still could somewhere. I'd pay to see Ricky Henderson play baseball now. At
297 home runs. I did not know that.
Unbelievable powers, leadoff hitter.
1,406 stolen bases. Now that one.
But there's a
how
lot.
How long
of,
does that stand? Is that going to stand the test of time?
Oh yeah, because nobody steals bases anymore. They don't look for guys to steal bases because guys are just pounding the ball, over the fence or in the gap. Stealing bases is not as valued as it once was.
I mean, look who our leadoff hitter is.
Yeah, it's Major League Baseball. It's a totally different deal. So that's what Ottavino's point
Blackman
was.
Charlie Blackman is going to be stealing many bases.
You don't see shortstops like Ozzie Smith anymore. By the way, Troy...
No backwards flips?
No. By the way, Troy Tulowitzki was dumped by the Blue Jays today, so...
And he is still owed $38 million. They cut him, on him, $38 million, D-Mac.
Yeah.
Cut him.
Yep.
So basically what the Blue Jays said today is that you're a bad apple and we don't want you in this cart.
Yep.
That happened today.
Yep.
They're going to scratch him a check for $38 million not to be around.
They're going
to
hope. Well, we'll see what happens there.
But. What do you mean? They cut him.
Yeah, but it'd be deferred if he gets picked up by somebody else. And there's all sorts of baseball-y things that happen. It's hard to say.
Who's going
to
pick up a $38 million contract with
nobody,
Troy?
Nobody. But somebody
then they owe him the money. Owe him the money.
All right, I'm not going
to. Wait a minute. Is there a way for a Major League Baseball team, when they cut a player, okay, once the contract is severed?
I don't know the specific answer, so I'll just agree with you and we can move on.
Okay.
Yes, they're going to cut him a check for $38 million.
Cut him a check for $38 million.
They're not, but I'll just agree with you.
Didn't we do that with Danny Hampton?
With Mike Hampton?
I mean, Mike Hampton.
Or Danny Nagel.
Danny Nagel. Both of them. We did it with both of them, actually.
Dude, it's contracts are complicated with
what do you mean?
How
once,
things
once
work.
Once you cut a guy here's and you
what,
didn't
here's,
trade him.
Here's what I know happened with Danny Nagel. So Danny Nagel got busted literally with a $50 hooker on Colfax.
Right.
I mean, I am not
and
making
they cut
that
him.
Up.
They cut him.
Literally who it was and where he was.
Did they pay him? I think they paid him.
Yes.
Mr. Troy would
they
know.
They dumped him, but they still had to pay him. And it was like a PR move. Should have seen Denny's wife, too. Oh, my God. She was beautiful.
You still married?
I doubt it to her. I don't know. Who knows? I used to be buddies with Denny Nagel.
You guys did a show together, huh?
Yeah, he was on our show quite a bit. Yeah.
He's still playing.
Denny?
I'm just kidding.
Denny was one of the greatest radio guests of all time.
Oh.
He was funny. He was smart. He made train whistles with his mouth. He was great.
Denny Nagel.
Loved Denny Nagel. And he screwed it all up because he couldn't calm down.
Last year playing in the majors was 2003 with the Rockies, 13 years.
Yeah, I mean, he was humiliated.
Right.
It was humiliating what he did. He embarrassed his wife. He betrayed his wife. He just let everybody down. Unfortunately.
I said Danny Hampton.
Danny Hampton, yes. I know what you meant.
I'm not Danny Nagel.
Good old Danny Hampton.
Play for the Chicago Bears. Okay.
So anyways, Adam Ottavino, athletes are just better. Ottavino would dominate Babe Ruth, as most pitchers would.
And you have video to support that, and you have research, and you know where guys' weak points are in the
so
in their swing.
1923.
Right. You know where a guy has a gap in his swing, so you know you're going to pitch to that.
Yeah.
I know where the gap is in cargo swing. I mean, it's outside right low. That's his gap. That if you throw it there, he'll probably chase. That's his, period.
The only analytics Babe Ruth was worried about was where the hot dog cart was in conjunction to the whiskey fountain.
So the Rockies
cigar,
did
and the
settle.
Cigar stand.
They settled with Danny Nagel.
Yeah, he got paid.
Did he get paid the full sum?
No, I don't think he got the full sum. He did all right, though. And I love, you know, when Ottavino was talking about Babe Ruth, basically he's not very physically fit. Baseball players today, it is a whole new world. These guys are in remarkable shape.
They're training like, you know, they're training like football players. They're training all year round.
Yeah, you should see these dudes. It's something else. The fat, overweight, you know, sloppy baseball guy.
By the way,
think of the past.
How much is Bryce Harper going to get in his new deal?
He's going to get a lot, but I just don't know where it's going to be. Supposedly, it's not going to be with the Yankees.
Nationals. Huh?
Oh, it's definitely not going to be with the Nationals. And apparently, the Yankees are moving on and looking like Machado. So, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to be. It's going to be for a ton of money, though.
And after he signs that deal, what should we do with Arenado? Should we trade him right on the spot?
No.
Like, as soon as that deal is inked?
I don't think so.
You say ride it out, huh?
I say ride it out, yeah. I don't know, but the winter meetings are going on right now, and Jeff Bridich, you know, has to think about that. The problem the Rockies have is they had a philosophy that was good enough to get to the playoffs, but it's not good enough to win a championship. So this is a really kind of a bummer because you've got to sort of blow it up to a certain degree. And that stinks because
last year you were like, you know, I don't care what is said out there and what we can get. When you have a Hall of Fame player, take him
as far as you can.
The last at bat you can have him.
Yeah. Well, I still follow that. But for example, don't get caught up in keeping DJ LeMahieu, which they won't. Don't get caught up in maybe Trevor Story, who's great. But
he had an awesome finish to the season.
You know, you know what a mistake they probably made, and this really kills me to say? They probably didn't need to invest as much as they did in Charlie Blackmon.
Sorry, Batman!
They probably could have got away with using a multiple amount of guys. And the deal with Charlie, although it feels right because everybody loves Charlie Blackmon, at the end of the day, that might bite you in the butt. And apparently
no chance to keep Arenado, if they're making deals like that, getting rid of Charlie Blackmon.
I heard they went hard after Goldschmidt, by the way.
Oh, did they really?
Yes, sir. It just didn't work out. But they went for
really?
It. Yeah.
That would have been exciting.
So
you're talking about clutch.
Oh, I love Goldschmidt. I just like saying Schmidt. Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Are the three offsides by Vaughn Miller a sign of him just trying to be aggressive and, you know, make the play? Or is it him being selfish? And I used to think, there was a time that I thought, you know, Vaughn, come on, you're better than this. And I've talked to him about it. And he goes, you know what? I'm coached better than this. I know better than this. I know I hurt my team. And I've got to be better. And I thought, you know, it's selfish. But then it's come to me and it's dawned on me that Vaughn is not selfish. Vaughn just understands who he plays with on the offensive side of the ball.
A gentle breeze from Hushabye Mountain.
The lullaby offense.
Softly blows or lullaby.
He knows they can't do it.
Fills the sails of boats that are waiting.
They're not going to make a play.
To sail your worries.
We're going to go with this, huh?
They average 1.5 points per first quarter. Von Miller is going, we've got no chance. There's no chance. If I don't make a play, if I don't create a turnover, a strip sack, fumble, if we don't score on defense, guess what? The Lullaby offense ain't going to get it done. They live on Hushabye Mountain. That's where they practice. Where are you guys going? Hey, defense is going to practice at Dove Valley. Where are you going to practice offense? Hushabye Mountain. It's a beautiful place.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.